Hello, everyone. Your girl Tay here, and I'm bringing you another Let's Talk Wild podcast episode. Today is May 4th, 2023, and this is episode 28. May the 4th be with you, the creatures of Star Wars zoology. You guys get it? May the 4th be with you, like the Jedi saying, may the Force be with you. But it's the 4th because it's, you know, May 4th. You guys get it. You guys get it. So to celebrate Star Wars Day, I wanted to discuss some of the newest creatures leaving their mark in the Star Wars franchise in the Boba Fett and Mandalorian TV series. But before we get into that, make sure you guys follow and subscribe to the podcast on all podcasting and social media platforms. Also hit to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and check out the videos over there once you're done listening over here. You guys already know the drill. Now, let's talk wild. The number of creatures in the Star Wars franchise is out of this world. Pun intended. It's gotten to the point where you can't tell the difference between creatures and aliens and creatures. They really go hand in hand, leg in leg, tentacle and tentacle. I just know the Star Wars zoology department is always working overtime, always getting calls about new creatures causing havoc on different planets. That sounds like a pain. All these different worlds and planets that have different creatures that must be accounted for. Well, wait. Can you account for all of these creatures? Some of them are slipping through the cracks, okay? All of them are not documented. Field research? Listen, in real life, wildlife photographers and zoologists that are doing this field research, they get, you know, the data by any means necessary. They are, you know, camouflaged with a bunch of leaves and mud on them. They're sitting there in trees and bushes and thorny bushes, you know, getting poked up by thorns on these plants and stuff. They're just out there doing their job because it comes with the job. They're getting harassed by the animals, getting poked, the birds walking all up on them, looking in the camera saying like, what's going on here, blocking the good shots of the animals and all that. It's a lot. But doing field research in the Star Wars world is a lot more complicated. You could be staking out, looking for a certain type of creature, and here comes another one trying to attack you. Even the little creatures can't be trusted. You'll think they're like small and weak and harmless, and then out of nowhere, you're literally getting jumped. You're getting jumped by all these tiny little creatures, okay? And now you're dinner for their colony. A mess. Droids would be a better candidate to do the field research. The trusted companion, the droids. It's literally like law. It's like an unwritten law to have a droid with you in Star Wars. You know, having a droid is like having your driver's license, keep it on hand at all times. But I can definitely see a team of droids assembled to gather data in certain creatures living on these different planets. I mean, the Mandalorian, Mando used a droid to test the air quality and to go and check this out and all of that. So, you know, the droids are definitely out there, you know, getting the pictures of the animals, getting the video surveillance and all of that. Shoot. They might if they get eaten, they might can transmit the visual of, you know, what's in the animal's, you know, the creature's stomach and stuff like that. So your trusted companion when you're out there in Star Wars, make sure you have a droid with you, especially when you're doing field research for these dangerous creatures that you have to get accounted for, try to get them accounted for and put them in the Star Wars database for animals and creatures and stuff like that. But what about invasive species? When someone takes a creature, you know, or you have a stowaway hiding in your pod eraser from a certain planet and now is multiplying on a planet that it isn't native to, nobody cares, huh? I guess nobody cares because at this point, it's like creature eat creature world out here, okay? Either the species is going to take over or it will be another food source for, you know, the other creatures, which could be a good thing because that might decrease actual people or alien life forms from getting attacked and eaten. You know what? I thought about that. You know what? Probably not. Food probably isn't even a main factor. The creatures are just naturally aggressive and territorial. They're naturally aggressive. They don't even have to be hungry to rip your face off. You know? But no matter where you go, it's always a creature waiting in the shadows, waiting in the sand, waiting in the waters. Every step you take could lead you to be one of these creatures' meals. That's some dangerous stuff, you know? But some of them are used as muscle, as security. Like the Gamorrean guards, they are green hog warriors that are big on, you know, loyalty. Once they, you know, take an oath to stand by you, that's exactly what they do. They did work for the slime slug kingpin Jabba the Hutt. That's the real King Slime, not Young Thug, okay? He fighting a case right now, rapper Young Thug. He's not the real King Slime. Real King Slime is Jabba the Hutt. Big Jabba. He's the real Slime King. But you know, not this person cutting the grass while I'm trying to record. I hope you guys can't hear that. If you can, I apologize. But we're just gonna, you know, keep going with this, honey. But yes, the real King Slime is Jabba the Hutt. But once Boba Fett took rule of Tatooine and Jabba the Hutt's old palace, you know, the Gamorrean guards, they pledged their loyalty to Boba Fett. And I mean, I sometimes call him Boba. I call him Bubba? I don't know what the hell I call them, but Boba Fett, okay, but they pledged their loyalty to him. I mean, with all these other creatures out there, you know, that will attack you, I don't see anything wrong with making some of them your muscle. It's always good to keep a couple of real loyal henchmen, well, in this case, hench hogs in your camp. You know, going against pirates, crime bosses, and the Galactic Empire, you have to be fully equipped. If you're able to earn the trust and train some of these creatures, you know, they'll ride into battle with you and fight until their very last breath. You know, Jabba the Hutt, you know, his twin cousins gifted Boba Fett, whom I refer to a lot because Boba Fett is literally my favorite Star Wars character. Don't ask me why. He just is, okay? But they gifted him a Rancor. Rancor? I believe I'm pronouncing it right, a Rancor. It's a huge beast with wrinkled reptilian skin, lanky arms and legs, and a face only a mother could love. That thing is ugly. But he was able to, you know, ride it and use it in battle. So, you know, having these big beasts on your team could, you know, it could come really in handy when you're dealing with all of this stuff that you got to deal with, you know, fighting every week, every day, honey. Sometimes you just want a dragon or something that could just burn them, or, you know, you don't have to do all that extra stuff, you know, it's just too much, okay? But some of them aren't all bad. A lot of them, these creatures are used as modes of transportation. You could cross, you know, all the terrain, the forest, deserts, you know, bodies of water, in the snow, in the skies. You know, Boba Fett traveled with a bantha across the Tantooine's Dune Sea, which is not a real sea, it's like a desert. But it's a large elephant-like mammal, and instead of a trunk, it has two spiraled horns. So, you know, some of them are used for transportation, you know, long distances and stuff like that. But let's switch it up. We have the Mandalorian Season 3, Chapters 17 through 24, which aired in March. Have you guys watched it? Leave a comment on the Let's Talk Wild YouTube video or on the community tab or in my Discord. Everything is linked. I watched it, and I didn't really care for this season, to be honest. It was lackluster, but I did enjoy seeing some of the new creatures, you know. The Mandalorians, they had to rescue one of their foundlings, you know, one of their children, from a flying raptor's nest. They were able to defeat the mom, and they took the babies to be trained by the clans. Them big babies. They'll eat you out of house and home. Where's all my old school people that heard their grandparents or their parents say that you'll eat somebody out of house and home? That's like describing a person or someone that's just like eating everything in the fridge and the cabinets and stuff. Honey, eat you out of house and home. But in this case, it'll be all worth it when, you know, they're grown and used to protect the people, you know. And in this recent season, we also got a glimpse of the creature that the Mandalorians have a long history with since ancient times. The skull of the creature they wear so proudly on their Beskar armor is the Mythosaur. The Mythosaur. A gigantic creature with large horn-like tusks that resides in the lands and the waters of Mandalore. You know, that's the home planet of the Mandalorians, okay? Now, Bo-Katan Kryze, she was reading this to Din Djarin Mando. Y'all probably don't even know his real name. The Mandalorian, she was reading. According to ancient folklore, the mines were once a Mythosaur lair. Mandalore the Great is said to have tamed the mythical beast. It is from these legends that the skull signet was adopted and became the symbol of our planet. Okay, that was Bo-Katan Kryze reading the description of the living waters to the Mandalorian Din Djarin. Okay. Now, they didn't do a full reveal of the Mythosaur. They literally just gave us a very small glimpse. But I'm ready for season 4. And my hopes are high, you know, that, you know, we'll get a full creature reveal. I want to see the Mandalorian riding a Mythosaur. And I want to see Bo-Katan Kryze riding a Mythosaur. Okay, she's seen it. She's the one that's seen it when Mando, she was trying to save him from the waters, the living waters. And she seen it when she went in after him and grabbed him. He was unconscious, but she seen the Mythosaur. So I hope she has a chance to ride it, you know. And I'm sorry about the spoilers. Y'all should have already known with spoilers in this. Once I told y'all we was going to be talking about stuff from the TV series, okay? You haven't seen the season yet? I mean, go check it out, whatever. It was lackluster to me, but it was still, you know, something to watch to, you know, pass the time until some other shows come out. You know. And you want to keep up to date so you won't have to say, well, when this happened, you know, when you're watching the next season, okay? But I want to end with one of the newest creatures that have, you know, won everyone over. It has won everyone over. Grogu. Y'all know Grogu, also known as Baby Yoda. His name is Grogu. Put some respect on his name. Learn it and use it. You know, he is the same species as Yoda, but the name of their species has not been released at all. It's a total mystery, and I like it that way. But, you know, he's deadlier than all of the creatures I've already discussed. I don't care how much of battle they've been in. I don't care how many heads they decapitated. Bodies they done ripped apart. Baby Grogu, he ain't even no baby no more. He ain't no baby. Grogu is not to be played with. He was raised at a Jedi temple. So he has the force. May the force be with you. May the force be with you. But now he's officially adopted by the Mandalorian, Din Djarin, and is training as a Mandalorian. Okay? I know that's right, Grogu. You know, came a long way. He said, I don't want to be no Jedi. He said, that ain't my path. I'ma hold on to the force, though, but I ain't no Jedi. The Mandalorian armorer, she even, you know, forged him a piece of armor. So Grogu is all set and ready. He done already started his training. He won his little training battle, you know, with a young foundling. They was training and stuff, and he won. So Grogu is all set and ready. He's so adorable. But like the late great rapper Tupac said, I ain't a killer, but don't push me. So don't push it with Grogu, okay? And don't leave your alien amphibians around him either, because he will eat them. See, he's one of those invasive species. Grogu is one of those invasive species. He'll eat all the frogs, leaving the population with a critically endangered conservation status. They'll like go extinct because he'll literally eat them. And I wonder if those frogs were a regular thing that, you know, his and Yoda's species. Is that what they literally eat? Because he loves frogs and he loves eggs. Love the amphibians, honey. He will eat them. I wonder if that's, you know, their normal diet. That's in their normal diet. I ain't never see Yoda eat no frogs. He might have had blended up frogs in his mugs, but who knows? But who knows? All I know is you better watch Grogu. Watch him. But that's all for today. May the force be with you. Let me know how you feel about today's topic. May the fourth be with you, the creatures of Star Wars zoology. Leave a comment on the Let's Talk Wild Instagram page and YouTube channel. Make sure you guys follow and subscribe to the podcast on all podcasting and social media platforms. Love yourself, one another, your pets, the animals, and the creatures. And the alien life forms, okay? And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye.